105.7 WLGC presents Airing It Out. Now, here's your host, Drew Skaggs.
This is Airing It Out, broadcasting live from the palatial studios of 105.7 WLGC, located two blocks from the always crystal clear Ohio River. Welcome to the Juggernaut, or Juggernaut, depends on if you're in Deutschland or not. Which, did you see, by the way, in Deutschland, they Angela Merkel won re-election by running on a tax cutting.
Wow.
Yes, tax cutting.
Tax cutting.
What is that? She's still a socialist, don't get me wrong, but a socialist that has seen 75 years of socialism going back to the National Socialist Workers' Party, otherwise known as the Nazi Party. They're still socialists over there, but they realize they need to cut taxes. We're doing the exact opposite thing. So this is the Juggernaut, known as AIO, where we bring to you topical talk radio that's informative, illustrative, ingratiating, instigating, invigorating, and infuriating emotions felt all at the exact same time. We can be reached two different ways. The first old-fashioned way, 1-800-551-1057, or the newfangled way. Is that a good way to put it? The newfangled, old-fashioned, newfangled way?
Yeah.
Drew Skaggs, of course, that's with a K.com. For the live internet stream of the show, both audio and visual, I've got a conundrum. I'm in a little pickle, but we've got a lot to talk about. Before I get into the last show, we had a segment where I following the president's speech at the United Nations, I said I want our country to be feared and respected. And I made the claim, backing up with empirical evidence, that we are no longer either one of those two things with this administration. And I had somebody yesterday, as a matter of fact, say, you know, I heard your feared and respected deal. He said, you know, feared, why did you bring that up? Feared is Nazi Germany. Feared is Austria-Hungary in World War I. Feared is the Soviet Union during the Cold War. I said, but you're missing the respected part of it. Any of those empires, and that's what they were, pseudo-wannabe empires, were not respected. They were greatly feared, for a variety and various and sundry reasons they were feared. But they were not respected because of what they did to their people. So that's is that a good way to answer it?
You think so? I think so. Yeah.
They heard feared, and they focused right in on that, and didn't really hear the respected part of it. That's a little educational thing, and I bring up education because we have a guest this evening. His name is Chad Hedrick. He is a conservative, I believe. B, he's interested in radio, and we are all about the youth of America, and it just so happens to be his birthday. So we've been talking back and forth for a while, and I decided to have him come on, and I gave him a syllabus. Basically, I said, listen, you got three topics. Go find three topics. Do show prep on them. I'm not going to tell you which one we're going to talk about so that you can't focus on just one of them. Brought him in here. He's been with you checking out the technological end of things.
Yeah.
I hope asking questions.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. That doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound good. So he's going to be on a little bit later.
He seems to know his stuff. I mean, he does a little stuff with the internet, so he kind of knows what goes on a little bit about it.
But he knows more than I do then.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, in a nutshell.
Right.
Which is A-okay. I'm fine with that. I have no problem with that because I have you. I have you to rely on for these type of things. I'm in a pickle. I'm in a conundrum. See if you can help me out here.
Okay.
My son comes home from school yesterday, and He's got his backpack deal with everything in there, you know, the homework. And all, you know, first grade, you know, voluminous homework.
Yeah.
You know, about 5 pages a week, and, you know, there's a lot of it. But he had a bag of change. He had a bag of change in that backpack, and he had toys in the backpack.
Okay.
My lovely wife was with me, and we asked him to explain the presence of both of those things. He said, well, Dad, I brought toys to school. I said, yeah, you're not supposed to do that. You realize that? Yes, I know that. I said, okay, well, what's up with the change? Now, listen to me when I say change. There was over $2 worth of change in a little plastic baggie.
Wow.
Yeah. He says, another boy paid me to play with my toys.
Wow.
Thus the conundrum.
That sounds like capitalism to me.
That's what I thought when my wife was, of course, aghast that that would be happening. And you can see my pickle.
I can,
yes, I'm caught strictly between my wife and my son, and it's a fun. It's like, you know, it's like threading the needle, trying, because on the one hand, listen, you know, and when I talked to him, he said, "Well, Dad, I didn't," and he said, "Dad, I didn't ask for it. He just gave it to me." Yeah. You know, but the light went off in his head. Wow, I've got a commodity. Somebody's willing to pay me for that commodity. So it was a teachable moment.
Right.
But my wife was there and didn't want me to teach that. You see what I'm saying?
I do see, yeah.
So on the one hand, I had to say, son, listen, that's not anything we do. You know, you need to return that money. You know, which was the right thing to do because, after all, I have to sleep with my wife. So that, you know, so you can see, as a capitalist, it was just a wrenching 5 minutes. You go from, you know, you're proud, you're happy, your son is understanding entrepreneurialism. He is understanding the free market. The first seeds are being planted, and you're proud of him. But at the same time, you can't be shaking down other school kids.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So did you think I did the right thing of sending the money back? Listen, you know.
I think so. Yeah. I think, you know, he can do that, you know, send the money back now, and then when he gets older, can maybe focus more on the entrepreneurial
stuff. Older, I was thinking, like, maybe tonight is what I was thinking. Son, after you brought it back. Now, listen, let me tell you something here. Where's Mommy? She's downstairs. Okay, come here. I want to talk to you. Think I can go with that?
I think that'll work, yeah.
You know,
not that you did anything wrong. It's just that, you know, it's not the
right
kind of thing.
No,
to
I don't
do
want
right
that
now
to be considered wrong.
Right. That, I you know what you're saying.
It's proud as a peacock, but at the same time, having to rein him in.
Yeah.
Which is cool for first grade, right?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too. I go over with my lovely wife to deliver our Meals on Wheels yesterday, okay? And she meets me to pick. So I go in over here, and I pick the food up. You know, they come in two big bags. And it's,
yeah.
I'm carrying it out, and a person that heretofore to be named nameless says, what are you doing? I said, what does it look like I'm doing? I'm getting Meals on Wheels. I'm going to deliver Meals on Wheels. He says, really? You do that?
Oh.
I said, well, what is that supposed to mean? He said, well, you're conservative. I said, this is conservatism at work, pal. Right here. This is conservatism. Serving others. Not having anybody else. I'm not carving anybody's tax money to do it. I'm doing it on my own free volition. This is conservative. Another teachable moment. And, you know, after a couple minutes, he was like, jeez, I just asked you what you were doing. I said, yeah, but you banged on me. Didn't, right?
It sounded like it, yeah.
Yeah, see, I had no intention. You know how things happen. It's just things come up, and, well, I mean, Chad's going to find this out. It's just, you've already probably told him that, listen, Skaggs, look, come here. Chad, come here. Listen, Skaggs goes off on little tangents here and there. You know,
he's heard the show.
Right. You know, he's got to rein him back in at some point. You're listening to, at this point, Airing It Out. Yeah, as I was saying, I had to say, don't tell anybody I was delivering meals. He goes, oh, it's going to hurt your image.
Yeah.
I was like, no. I'm just funning. Respected and feared. Let me give you an example of respect. You saw what happened yesterday with the hurricane/tsunami. You know, is that just a phenomenon that is just now occurring? Because I don't ever remember a hurricane followed immediately by a tsunami, or is it because of Indonesia 2.5 years ago? Do you ever remember it until now?
I don't remember anything. Yeah. Before the big one in Indonesia.
Before the one in Indonesia.
Yeah.
Where we were the first on the ground. This one happened in America, Samoa, as well as Indonesia. Guess who's the first on the ground?
Us.
That would be the United States of America. Where is the United Nations? The United Nations is still trying to figure out what the press release is they're going to put out for it before they get their little baby blue helmeted soldiers on the ground, which will never occur because we will have taken care of it. That's what I mean by respected. Right there. So, those on my side of the aisle, although I don't know, you know, conservatarians, they're few and far between, but those on the right side of the aisle are having a collective cow. And you know what it's about?
No.
It's about the president going to Denmark, specifically Copenhagen, or Copenhagen, depends on if you were over there, to lobby for Chicago, to be given the 2016 Olympics, Summer Olympics, of course. Winter Olympics would be pretty tough in Chicago. Of course, I don't know. It's pretty cold up there.
Pretty good winter
weather. This is why I know it's the Summer Olympics, because they're competing against Rio de Janeiro.
Ah, yeah.
Figuring they don't get a lot of snow down there.
Not a lot of snow
in Brazil. So that's who their main competition. Well, all the concern. Boehner comes out with this. Oh, it's terrible that the president's leaving, and you know, I depart from I can see the criticism here. The first lady went over on a separate plane, and she's hanging with Oprah, so she's not coming back with the president. That's a lot of money. Couldn't she have just gone over there together? Why couldn't Oprah have just footed the bill? I mean, Oprah can write that out of her spare change she finds in her various couches in her various mansions across the world.
Yeah,
you know.
All right.
Dateline, WashingtonExaminer.com. Obama defends Olympic trip to Denmark. The headache.
Yeah?
Yeah. The White House defended President Obama's trip to Denmark this week to promote Chicago's bid for the Olympic Games, saying health care reform is in good enough shape for him to miss a couple days. I wish he was staying if he considers it in good enough shape. Did you see Pelosi was at the U2's concert?
I didn't see
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, she. I don't blame her. I mean, I'd go listen to U2 rocking out. White House press secretary, the inept and mumbling Robert Gibbs, said, "I think he believes he can do this and get back on top." He felt strongly and personally that he should go and make the case of the United States, and that's what he's going to do. Isn't he making the case of Chicago?
Yeah.
Let's be honest here.
Right.
A delegation that includes First Lady Michelle Obama, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, Education Secretary Arne Duncan, Oprah Winfrey. Which one doesn't fit? And others. Let's get real. If a president can go on vacation for a few weeks, he can spare a couple days for this trip. One more day and one more ridiculous healthcare speech would not be decisive, but one day in Copenhagen very well might be. I'm all for it. I'm rooting for Chicago to win. I want the Olympics back in the States. And that's why I want him in Copenhagen making the pitch. The Olympics are special for a country that hosts them and a city that hosts them. You know, Atlanta. Did you know Atlanta doubled in size following the 96 Olympics? Were you aware of that?
I didn't know that.
It provided a huge boost to business. You want stimulus. You want stimulus, you get the Olympics. Now, I understand if it's poorly run, you're going to lose your collective behind. I understand that. That means you got to run it right. Of course, it's Chicago, so you never know. But you've got the air service, the international air service. You've got housing. You've got tourism. You've got the restaurants. You know, everything that makes it up. I'm all for him going over there. Not chiefly of which or not least of all, is that getting him out of there, out of here, so that he can't screw up healthcare anymore. You know, I follow this. You know, as you all know, I follow the parliamentary moves that happen, which is parliamentary is a associated with Britain and Great Britain. But there are parliamentary moves in our United States Congress, and the liberals led by Harry Reid and Pelosi are getting ready to pull a good one. And I've been thinking all day long, how in the world can I explain it that people understand? I can't. That's how convoluted what they're about to do with the healthcare debate is. It's just, I can't even begin to explain to you the supermajority, sending it out to reconcile with the House, getting the 51 votes, attaching it to another rider, to another bill, so it doesn't come up where you have to have the 60 votes. It's, as you can see, it's very convoluted.
Right.
But here's what's going to happen. I'm going to make the prediction right now. Healthcare is going to pass, albeit in a watered-down version, and it's going to be a 50-50 vote. And Vice President Joe Plugs Biden is going to cast the deciding one. That is my prediction. You know, the last time I did that, I was right. Wasn't it Cheney? What did he cast that vote on?
I don't remember what
so,
it was.
Yeah, I know, because it doesn't happen that often.
Yeah.
It's going to happen here, because from what I can tell, there's 49 right now United States senators that are for this latest version of a crap sandwich. There's 49 there. All they need is 50, because Plugs is going to vote for him. He's the casting. He's the tie. He's the deciding vote in the United States Senate. The vice president. Were you aware of that, Chad?
No.
See, civics.
Yeah.
Civics not being taught. Still, he is the deciding vote. And if there's a 50-50 split, vote wise, in the United States Senate, he's the deciding vote. So they got 49. They got to flip one Republican, and they're going to call it bipartisan, of course. But. Okay. So you're going to have, you know, Olympia Snow or some mealy-mouthed little wimpish Republican,
John McCain,
comes to mind. But that's my prediction right now. We got to mark that down, because
yeah,
when the vote comes, we'll have to go back to it. I always stand by my predictions, no matter how bad they are.
Right.
Sometimes I'm close. Sometimes I'm just not even in the ballpark.
Right.
But I never, ever fail to get up and take a swing. All right, so... Like I said, this latest deal with healthcare is just, it's just so convoluted. But here's some interesting parts. Dateline Washington Times. This is Monday. Liberals seek healthcare access for illegals. Fearful that they're losing ground on immigration and health care, a core group of House Democrats is pushing back and arguing that any health care bill should extend to all legal immigrants and allow illegal immigrants some access. Well, we know what that's code for, some access.
Yeah.
The Democrats trying to stiffen their party's spines on the contentious issue. Why don't you look at Afghanistan you want to stiffen? Jeez. Say it's unfair to bar illegal immigrants from paying their own way in a government-sponsored exchange. Legal immigrants, they say, regardless. I don't care. If they're legal immigrants, why are we even arguing about that? If they're here legally, that's fine. But see, what they do is they try to mix it up on you. See, they throw illegal with some illegals. So they try to mix it on you. So what? The only thing you need to know is liberals seek healthcare access for illegals. Now, wait a minute here. Wait 1 second. I bring you back to President Barack Obama in the august bowels of the United States Congress, addressing a joint session of Congress not even 3 weeks ago.
There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegal.
All right. Who's lying? Somebody's lying. Okay?
Yeah.
It ain't Joe Wilson, because Joe Wilson's not for it. Okay? So Joe Wilson can be thrown out of the mix. He's the one that threw the claim out there. So who's lying? Is it the president, or is it the mealy-mouthed little liberals in Congress? Or is it a combination thereof? This is what's so frustrating. All they focused upon was, you lie. And here it is. Not even 3 weeks later, liberals seek health care access for illegals. That is what has destroyed California's economy. It is what is well on its way to destroying Arizona's economy, Texas's economy, although Texas, with no in-state income tax, stands a better chance. But what do they have in common? They are all border states facing terrible illegal immigration problems. So they get all... No, wait a minute here. They got all upset. Remember that, okay? So we have a Florida congressman by the name of Alan Grayson yesterday saying that the Republican plan, the health care plan, is for old people to die quickly. What is worse, die quickly or you lie? He hasn't even been admonished. Alcee Hastings, his buddy, his fellow congressman from Florida, said, I can see that. I can see where he's coming from. See, that's the difference. These liberals, they rally around each other no matter what happens. Conservatives, they just throw each other under the bus. Now, least you think he didn't mean it, this is breaking news. This is just what he said on the floor of the House. I apologize to the dead that we haven't voted sooner to end the Holocaust in America. So not only does he say the Republican plan is for old people to die quickly, he now calls Republicans, equates them to Nazis in the Holocaust. Wasn't that what Nancy Pelosi was so worked up about that she had to cry? The atmosphere of hate. It's awful. I've never seen it like this before. Well, I have in the late 70s. It was awful. They're fostering an atmosphere of hate. From two words, you lie. But it's okay for this guy, this goofball that's in the same party as Nancy Pelosi, to go to the House floor and accuse Republicans of their plan being this: old people die quickly. And then following up today and saying it is a Holocaust happening in America. Do you think Nancy Pelosi is going to call for his censure? Do you think any of them are going to call? Of course they are not. So, our old buddy Tyler Murphy, Talking Point Tyler. I got an internal email that was the new talking points that was sent home by Nancy Pelosi to her members of Congress during the August recess. And basically, it says this, the strategy memo, it verbatim says, hold the insurance companies accountable, remove them from between you and your doctor, no discrimination for pre-existing conditions, no dropping your coverage because you get sick, no more job or life decisions made based on loss of coverage, no need to change doctors or plan, no co-pays for preventive care. You get the picture. That was the new marching orders. Now, here's Tyler Murphy, who just 2 months ago talked about, we need a single-payer option. We have got to have a single-payer option. Healthcare cannot work. Healthcare reform cannot work unless we have a single-payer option. Of course, Tyler is doing this ensconced in his fraternity house room at Transylvania University or wherever it is. I don't know if he lives in an off-campus apartment or whatever. But he writes, the U.S. is the wealthiest nation on earth. He's just spews talking points, folks. This is what you got to understand about this guy. This is what you understand about these people that write in, the rote writers. This is into the Daily Independent. We spend 1/6 of that wealth on health care. That's what the president says. That's what they all say. Yet the WHO ranks America's health care system 36th in the world. You know, there's so many points to go into with this, how these rankings come about. I'm not even going to go into it. It's ridiculous. It's like the UN. The World Health Organization is like the UN. Americans are paying more for health care but getting less. Jeez, where have I heard that before? What can be done to right our course and enact meaningful reform? An important first step would be forbidding insurance companies from denying care based on pre-existing conditions. You just heard me read Nancy Pelosi's talking point memo. And Tyler just read it also. Because he's saying the same thing. An important first step. Motivated by profit, healthcare companies attempt to find ways to charge more in premiums and pay less in claims. Oh, no. Profit? That is such a dirty word to people like Tyler. We cannot have profit. That is wrong to profit. You don't think Tyler's going to be seeing the Michael Moore capitalism movie, do you? I guarantee it. People most in need of care are denied covers because insurance companies don't want to pay for that care, but someone only makes things worse by avoiding treatment for a pre-existing condition because he or she is uninsured. When a pre-existing medical condition turns into an emergency, it costs the system and everyone paying into it much more. Why? Legally, no one can be denied treatment in an emergency room. Hospitals can't treat people for free, blah, blah, blah. But while this debate may be all dollars and cents to the industry, we're also talking about people's lives. The need for change echoes in the voices of those countless individuals victimized by a private, profit-driven industry while facing some of life's most difficult challenges. As both a moral and financial imperative, any reform must eradicate the pre-existing condition exclusion. And remember, 2 months ago it was any reform must include the public option. But since his overlords in the party have told him that's not the new gig is the insurance companies. We've got to go after them. You know, Tyler, Medicare and Medicaid are broke. Both government-run systems. And yet you want to add another one. And with the pre-existing condition, this is what happens. Let me give you an example. Massachusetts passed the same thing 3 years ago in their General Assembly. We're going to make the insurance companies, if you go, you have got to be covered no matter the pre-existing condition. Do you know what happened? People, when they got sick, would magically show up and say, I want to be insured. And they would have to be insured with their sickness. They weren't paying into anything. But then all of a sudden they got sick and they came running to the door. Said, you can't bar me. You cannot bar me. Same thing that's going to happen here on a national scale. Now, it, make no mistake, it will break us. Make no mistake about it. All of these grandiose plans, the trillions of dollars of spending that are proposed, have already been spent and are being proposed even more, are going to break us. We are headed right down the path to Brokesville.
The long-term deficit and debt and trillion that we have accumulated is unsustainable. And that means that we're mortgaging our children's future.
Take the last train to Brokesville, and we'll beat Carter's inflation. We can tax hell that's not dirty, and revive that old stagflation. Don't go slow. Oh, no, no, no. To hell we go.
You know, well, I'm, you know,
yeah.
It's technical difficulties here.
A little bit.
Chad is getting to see the all the stuff that goes on in between the breaks, and he's excited about it. And I want to welcome in
breaking
two.
Stuff like you do.
I know. Well, that goes without saying. I want to welcome into the show because my wife just sent me a text message saying, you know, geez, get to the star of the show, and he is Chad Hedrick. He is. A friend of mine that has turned 14 today. Happy birthday, Chad.
Thank you.
Ninth grader?
Yeah.
Ninth grader. At Paul Blazer.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah, it's at Paul Blazer, isn't it?
Yeah. Go Tomcats.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm still in the first grade thing, you know?
Right.
But Chad is, basically, would you describe yourself as a conservative, first and foremost?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm always interested in that because let's be honest, you're swimming against the grain. Of course, you're not really going. You're swimming against the waves. Isn't that a better way to put it? There's really no grain.
Right.
Yeah, because most kids your age are, I would assume, lean to the liberal side of things. Would that be what you find?
With some, yeah, but others, they really don't care what's going on with the health care.
Yeah, there's a huge block,
I'm sure. You will
care,
but I would say out of the ones who do care, there's probably more on the liberal side.
See, that's why you've got to change it. You've got to be our beacon in the school system.
I'm trying.
I know you are.
It's a lot of work.
trust me, don't I know it, huh? I mean, get banged out by my wife talking about being long-winded about things. So we've been talking about this for a while. Mm-hmm. I don't know about this. I wanted to have you come down here and just watch things. And then it was your birthday, and I thought, well, you know, let's just have him come on down here and talk about things. I know you've done an internet show.
Yeah.
A little bit different down here, I'm sure, than with the internet thing.
There's not all this technical stuff.
Yeah, have you seen how much I've done of it? Have you noticed the technological wizard that I am? Huh?
Yeah.
See that?
Yeah,
exactly. He's a homer for me. So I wanted to bring you down here and before it, I think it was Sunday evening, I sent you a message, said, okay, listen, you got to find three topics because you're not going to know which one I'm going to talk to you about. I wanted to give you a taste of how to prepare for a show.
Mm-hmm.
What I wouldn't say we in the business, because I'm really not, what Jeff would say, show prep.
Yeah.
What are the three topics that you've studied up on that you have for us?
I've been looking up, and I've heard it so many times about Obama's little trying to make the school years and days longer.
Okay. All right, that's one.
Bullying in school.
Bullying.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Young Hollywood, how bad it is having an influence on teens now, making them think,
I'm tired of talking about Obama. So we're gonna throw that one out. How about we talk about let's say the bullying, because we've had a couple stories, haven't we?
Yeah.
Where we've talked about it.
We have.
And I never understood, you know, bullying. Bullying has always taken place. It's mm-hmm. always taken place in school. I mean, they were around when I was in school. They're still around today. They're going to be around tomorrow. It's kind of like with legislation. You can't legislate morality. I know they're trying to legislate bullying out of the schools, and I have no idea what your take is on it. But why don't you go ahead and give me your best shot with it?
Okay. Yeah, they've come up with like new laws, like outlawing bullying. I really don't see how that is going to work.
So let me ask you, is there going to be like bully police?
I don't know.
Okay, go
like
ahead.
Every 5 feet or something?
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
But and then they have the no tolerance policy. But the staff, and they're not going to find out if it's going on unless the kid who's being bullied tells them, and no one's going to want to be a tattletale.
Right. So no tolerance, you mean they get suspended, they get kicked out? What is the deal?
I think it depends on the how the offense, like how bad of it is.
If so there's
threatening.
There are degrees of bullying.
Yeah. Yeah.
If this is not bureaucracy at work, I don't know what is. I mean, how are you going to say, okay, well, listen, you taped a sign to the back that said kick me. Is that bullying?
It depends. If you're the one that's got the sign taped to, probably. But if you're the one who's watching,
or unless you get
around.
Kicked,
yeah,
right.
And then there's actual pummeling, which occurs.
Yeah.
So like I said, there's varying degrees of bullying. There's got to be.
Right.
I don't care how you look at it, but you said there's legislation with. Let me ask you this. You say there's a zero tolerance program, and am I saying this right, or am I just guessing?
No tolerance policy in. I know for sure it's in the Ashland schools. I'm not for sure about the others.
Right. There's no tolerance for bullying.
Mm-hmm.
What about drugs? Is there no tolerance for drugs?
I'm
just curious.
I would imagine so.
I would imagine so, too. I would hope so.
Yeah.
If there's going to be tolerance, I hope
Yeah, exactly.
Do kids talk about this? I mean, do they talk about this? Listen, you better not bully them because you're going to get busted.
No, I don't think that. If they do, they say, well, who's going to tell on me? You know, it's...
So they bully.
Yeah.
So they look and say, you better not tell on me.
Yeah. So, and if you do tell on them, well, then unless they're only doing it, if they're doing it to you, they're going to know who told. But it just depends on the circumstances.
You do realize by all this talking that you're doing about it, how silly this is. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's the flavor of the month. Because remember we had the story, we had the Kentucky legislature. Had brought up the bullying legislation and wanting to make it Commonwealth-wide. I don't know if this is the end result of it or not.
Yeah, this is what I have.
So these are KRS statutes?
Mm-hmm.
They are indeed.
Mm-hmm.
They're KRS statutes.
I do my research.
Yes, you do. Assault and threats of violence. Bullying has always gone on. I'm not advocating bullying, you know? But... I don't know where you fall on it. I really don't. I know that if my kids, when they're your age or you know, right around in there, when it becomes something to be concerned with, and it's going to be what my dad told me, punch them right in the nose.
Yeah.
They won't be bullying you anymore after that.
Yeah, that's what I get told.
You don't want to flex those pythons.
I know.
I understand.
But if they have a no tolerance policy on that, and it'll come back and you'll be the one in trouble too, and they'll be like, well, instead of taking the violent way, you should have just come to us.
Conflict resolution.
Yeah.
Right. I do understand that. I've experienced that before.
Really?
I when I was in school, I was bullied a little bit, and finally one day I just got tired of it.
And you took care of business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they acted like I was the one who caused it all. Like, no. This isn't my doing. This is me kind of getting even for all the years of torment from this dude.
I don't want anything directed at Superintendent Gilmore, who's a very good friend of mine.
I didn't go to school in Ashland.
He's not the one that put this into play. This is a Kentucky statute.
And I didn't go to school in Ashland or in Kentucky, so that leaves all that out for me.
With me in the studio is a special guest by the name of Chad Hedrick. It is his birthday today. He is he's interested in radio. And we had him on, had him come in here to just kind of talk about things because we talk. I talk a lot about education because you hear education so much talked about. And when we were talking about the deciding vote in the United States Senate, I asked if you knew who cast it, and you were honest and said, "No, I don't."
Yeah.
And I made the point that civics, and I have made the point for 3 years, whether it's to you, Chad, whether it's to Jeff Davis, whether it's to any of the gubernatorial candidates in the election this past year that visited us here at Airing It Out, there is no civics being taught, appreciable civics that I can see like we were taught when, you know, days of long, long ago.
Okay.
Are you ready for a phone call?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we've got Danny on the line with a question about bullying. Hey, Danny.
Hey, it's not really a question. It's more of an opinion.
Okay.
I just think, you know, I know you're right. It's been going on for years.
Right.
I think it has gotten worse, and I think that's where the school shootings come from, because the schools have got so big and budget cuts are so bad that they don't have enough teachers or whatever supervising the kids to catch it going on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you had enough teachers there supervising, they would catch it where the kids didn't have to tell, and it wouldn't go on forever. You can't really blame kids sometimes if every day they go to school they get beat up and picked on and they keep getting made to go. Eventually, if you corner a rat, he has to do something to fight back.
Right. Chad's with me. Say hello to Chad, Danny.
Hey, how you doing, Chad?
I'm doing good. You?
I can't complain too much.
That's good. Listen, Danny, you brought up a good point. And which is bullying leads to gun violence that we have seen, unfortunately, around the country. You know, I'm just not a believer. Do we lose him?
I think so.
I'm still there.
I guess it's one of those things where you've got to try something. And you talk about budget cuts and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if legislating by fiat like this would solve it. But you know, that's why we have Chad in. I wanted to talk about this issue with him.
I mean, if you're in 10th grade and 5'4", 110 pounds, and there's somebody, the big football star that is continually beating up on you every day, you can't stop him from doing that.
Right.
So what do you eventually do? I mean, you're not going to get beat up every day without doing something to finally get even. If the administration or teachers don't do anything to stop it, you have to eventually stop it somehow or other. I mean, I'm not an advocate of it. I'm not saying
right.
I'm just saying I think that's the mentality that some of these kids end up with.
You know, the question that you said something.
Teachers can't stop it.
You said something interesting to me. You said you think it's worse today than it was back when we were growing up.
Well, the schools have got bigger. They've combined them and everything to make the schools bigger than what they were when we were younger.
Yeah.
I think that's why it has gotten worse is because of that.
When you talk about schools being bigger, my graduating class was 987 people. That was just in my graduating class. You know, so I've got experience with large schools. I was never bullied, per se, but I mean, I can understand where you're coming from with the sheer numbers that come out with this. Is that government's place? Is that government's role? Or is it the individual school district, I guess, is a better question.
Well, in my opinion, it's a budget cut. It comes down to some of it being the government's fault, some of it's the way the local districts spend it, and things such as that.
Well, let me ask you this, Chad. If you Danny's talking about budget cuts being part of the problem, do you see this as being part of the problem? If I have no idea about the security personnel that roam the hall. I have no idea. Do you see security personnel at the school?
We have an on-campus cop, and he's there just in case something happens. But, like, the teachers are always in the class, and if it is happening, it's usually happening between classes.
Right.
Where teachers aren't around.
Right.
And there's the online bullying. It's everywhere.
Yeah, the online bullying. I've never had that.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
And that's a big issue, too. And the only times you can go to the teachers is you can't go up in the middle of class while they're trying to teach. So you have to work around it sometimes their schedule.
Right.
Or, you know, go to the office.
Sure.
And miss out on class.
Wow. You know,
it's a big effect on
this
kids.
This is pretty cool because I had no idea that the problem was so multifaceted because we've talked about this before. Danny, listen, you got anything else that you want to talk about real quick?
That's about it. Like I say, I mean, that's just my opinion on it. Like I say, I don't know that I'm right. You know, I know another thing, when I was younger, the whole mentality was different. They didn't look, you know, a fight in school was bad, but it wasn't like they were going to suspend you forever.
Right.
Over it, like it is now.
Yeah.
I'm a lot older than Chad and you and stuff. I mean, back in my day.
Thank you.
There was fights at school. Fights at school, you know, you got detention for 3 days.
Yeah, you took care of business and you went on about it. Yeah.
And it wasn't a major issue that it is now.
Yeah. Well,
and so that cut down on it some too.
Yeah.
But now it just has got worse, I think. And it's a shame. I feel sorry for any kid that goes to school. I mean, luckily I didn't have that problem, but I mean, I feel sorry for any kid that has to go to school and be afraid. A kid shouldn't go to school and be afraid.
No, you're right.
They should feel safe. That's where they should feel safe.
Danny, we're up against a hard break. We appreciate the fact, as always, that you're out there, and thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, take care. That was Danny. I believe he's from Ironton, isn't he? Didn't he call before? I don't even want to say that because he's probably mad now because he's not from Ironton.
Sure.
Don't hold that against me, Danny. Wow, is it the second hour of the show already?
Yes, it is.
You know, my head is pounding like a young robin's. It's just pounding. And you know what it is? It's these things right here. It's these glasses.
Yeah.
Switching back and forth.
Right. You either need to leave them on or leave them off.
Aging is hell. Huh?
Either leave them on or leave
them off. I can't
leave them
on because I'm not nearsighted. I'm not farsighted. Don't get me wrong. These are just.
He's in between.
These are just cheaters. Is he talking smack? He was talking smack at the break, too. Did you catch that?
I heard that, yeah.
Yeah. Talking smack, believe it or not, is Chad Hedrick. My guest here at Airing It Out as we go forward into the second hour of the show already.
Wow.
Yeah. Before we get into your second topic, because we're not going to get into your third, there was one thing that you brought up was cyberbullying. And I know, technologically, look, you see what I do right here. That's it. Anything more, and I'm just gone. He does all that other stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can get on the internet and be dangerous. I do it all. I can get on there and be dangerous. And I've actually gotten a lot better. But your age group, which is 14, so, 10 to 20, those kids that are growing up now are so much more technologically advanced. And trust me when I say this, in a decade from now, they're going to be more advanced than you are. At 25 or 24. Yeah, they are. That's just the way of technology.
Exactly. The kids his age are way farther ahead than I was at that age.
Yeah. Which it doesn't take much for you. But
hey, thanks.
He's going to shut everything down.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's this button here that says off, dude?
Yeah, he's going to shut everything down.
What's that mean?
But the cyberbullying thing, let me give you my take on cyberbullying.
Okay.
My take on it is turn off the computer. Get out of the chat room, get out of there, and don't pay any attention to it. Is it as easy as that or no? Obviously not.
That's a good solution to how to react to it, but sometimes kids, when they see someone saying stuff about them online, and even when other people can see it, they don't think, okay, shut the computer off. Because shutting the computer off, it's not going to make it disappear.
Okay.
It's still going to be on, and it's still going to have that effect on you. That
so it's like a car wreck. You don't really want to look at it, but you're going to, even though it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be a good way to put it?
Yeah.
And if you just shut it off, people are going to still bang on you online.
Mm-hmm. They're going to be like, "Oh, did you chicken out? You didn't want to."
So is that? Is it really a problem?
Oh yeah. It's bad. Facebook and MySpace and.
Well, now I've got Facebook. I'm a Facebooker.
I'm a Facebooker, too. But,
I am, too.
But, in some cases, they...
And I'm sure there's other stuff out there. There's not just the social networks. You're young. You don't want to give away the secrets. I understand. Because Facebook now is being co-opted by the older generation, and I'm sure young whippersnappers like you are going to say, all these old guys, all these old people on Facebook, let's go do our own thing. Which is Young Book or whatever.
Young Book.
Yeah, whatever it is.
My book.
You know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's other sites where you all chat, shall we say, that the parents and the guardians don't know anything about, and I'm assuming that that's where it takes place a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to let anything go on that, is
I'm
he?
Not, no. He's, I'm not giving away my secrets.
You know what he's doing? He's protecting his posse.
Yeah.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him. So, in your estimation, cyberbullying is all right. Let me phrase it this way: is just avant-garde. Oh, that's a terrible way to put it. Just old school, regular bullying. What are you looking at me, pal? You know, you got something. Mm-hmm. You know, or cyberbullying? Which one's worse?
They're both bad, but I would say verbal at school would be the worst.
Okay.
Because that way you can't, there's no way for place for you to run to and feel safe. If it's happening to you on your computer, like you said, you can shut the computer off and just
and you're still wherever you are.
You're safe and you can go to your mom or your dad and talk about it.
Right.
And they hope they may or may not find out. But when they notice that you're not in class and they see you walking down towards the office, then they know. So, but I would definitely think that the verbal is the worst.
Well, from Gary, that's a nice message, speaking of cyber.
Yeah.
on our website, we got a message from Gary for you. Says, Chad, on with you tonight, is smart for his age. You all should invite him on some more. He's doing a great job.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know where to reach me.
Yeah, you are. You're doing a good job.
Thanks.
Wow, that's interesting. I would have no idea what would be worse than. Well, yeah, they are.
To pick the worst would probably be the verbal.
Let me give you an example of what I went through at school, and it goes back to what Danny was talking about. I had a huge school. There was 3,500 kids in my school, suburban Detroit, and I remember going to my locker one time, and this guy was two lockers down, three lockers down, pulls a 45 out. Yeah, other stuff.
Wow,
you know,
yeah,
yeah.
He'd be in big
and,
trouble.
Well, it's one of those
now.
Things where I just kind of moseyed on and went right into the nearest classroom because you know, listen, you had no idea.
Yeah.
But that was pre-Columbine and all that stuff, and you know, you don't really think about it too much because you know it was a suburban school, and I'm not saying that's you don't expect to see that at school because I was flabbergasted when I saw it. But, you know, kind of looking back now, I can look back and say, you know, that was kind of a harbinger of things to come because heretofore up until that point, there had been no school shootings. I mean, of any, you know, note, I'm sure there had been, but not the what we experienced in the 90s of what it was. So you're going to stick around for a while. Leslie, text your son here and tell him what time you're going to be here to pick him up because he has absolutely no idea.
I'll stay forever.
I'm his guardian for him, especially he's getting his you know his props there being sent in via cyberspace. You're listening to Airing It Out with me in studio, Chad Hedrick. I don't even know how to describe him. Wannabe radio guy.
That's
would
a good
that
one.
Be would that be?
Yeah, I mean,
you know, checking it out. I
you're
guess.
A replacement.
Listen to him. Yeah. Still talking.
I think by the time he gets to the age where he wants to do this for a living. There's not going to be much radio anymore. It's going to be more online stuff, we're trying to phase in, but we're not going to, you know,
right?
That kind of thing. I think he's going.
Well,
to
he's
be more
doing that
online.
Stuff too.
Yeah,
and he's already
on
messing
Facebook
around.
Show. Yeah,
that's the nice thing.
He does have a Facebook show.
Yeah.
What is it, Chad Hedrick Show? Is that what it's called?
Well, Chad Show. Yeah.
The Chad Show.
Chad Hedrick. Facebook.
Well, there could be like Ocho Cinco.
Ocho Cinco.
He might have his own show, so you got to differentiate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You got to brand yourself, Hedrick.
Oh.
That's the deal, right? Isn't
yeah.
it? You got to brand yourself. You just can't be. There's a bunch of Chads out there. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, there's actually another Chad Hedrick.
See?
Speed skater.
Wow.
In the
really?
Olympics.
Is he like, what's his name? Apollo Ono?
No.
Which, say his name.
Who?
Apollo Ono.
Apollo Ono.
Isn't that a cool word?
Yeah.
Isn't that a cool name? Wouldn't you like to be
he was
named?
On Dancing with the Stars
wouldn't
one
you,
season.
Wouldn't you, I know. Wouldn't you like it to your name to be Apollo Ono? Mm-hmm. That is so cool.
That is kind
what's your
cool.
name?
It is.
Ono. Oh, Apollo.
It is like.
There's a lot of Apollos. Well, think about it. Apollo Creed?
I've never really heard of any Apollos until
you've never
tonight.
Heard of Apollo Creed?
I haven't.
Now, listen. I know he hasn't. You've never seen Rocky 2?
I can't talk. I'm like,
no.
huh? I don't know.
Never.
This is out of your.
I don't.
Yeah, I'm like,
huh?
I haven't watched any of the Rocky movies.
Well, listen, the older generation appreciates. and so we have the older and we have the younger in the form of Chad Hedrick. I tell you, what's really interesting to me is the phone calls that have been generated by this very topic, because listen, this is an opinion show. I have my. That's what drives it. Was my opinion on whatever. Issue I decide to discuss, and we have talked about bullying before, but albeit just kind of in passing as the stories come, and I can't even remember what they are. And my question, my attitude, quite frankly, has always been dismissive. And and as we went to the break, as we were in the break, I told you probably because I don't care and I never have what people say. But you know what? I think I'm the exception to the rule in that category because, you know, middle school, high school, it's tough. It's formulative. You know, it's the kids worry and have a tough time dealing with negativity coming from other kids. And kids can be brutal. They're the most brutal to other kids. And we received a call during the break from Becky talking about the online bullying and how difficult her child found it. And it didn't do any good to turn it off because it followed her,
right.
sounds like.
Yeah.
And, wow, Becky, I feel for you. I really do. I'm shocked, quite frankly, at how deep it is. And talking to Chad during the break, it is deep. And so, you know, we need to do this more often.
Well, not Chad, because he's jonesing for my job. So, you know, he's a short timer.
I'm out.
It's opened my eyes. It really has. In this short time, and I appreciate that. Anything else you want to say about it before we go to the break, young Mr. Hedrick?
Like we were talking during the break, it gets worse, I think, as you get older, because there is, especially for us, there's the cyberbullying. You can get it Facebook, MySpace, whatever, online, text message, verbal. Back in the day when you didn't have the internet, no offense, it happened at school and you went home and you were away from it. But now there's no escaping it.
Wow, that's a really good way of putting it. Aren't you glad Al Gore invented the internet? See, so you know another way to put this.
At least
this.
He did one good thing.
Hey, listen, do you know another way to put this? It's Al Gore's fault.
Yeah,
exactly. All this blame bullying, him. That's exactly right. It's Al Gore's fault. So Mr. Hedrick, the young Mr. Hedrick, is going to stick with us. What is it? This is the long segment, which
that's
is a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
You might watch. It's just... Have you told Chad just how much... What's the word I'm looking for? He's taking me out of my comfort zone because none of the stuff is around where it normally is. He's got his own stuff over here, and it's just very discombobulating to me. Have you explained this to him?
No,
about
I really
the OCD?
Didn't.
Huh?
I didn't. No. No.
It'll just have to be something we explain to him about. With me in studio is a very special guest celebrating his 14th birthday. Got shoes older than that. You know, and my wife lets me know that too.
Listen, I'm sure she does.
Listen, baby, those when you're gonna those shoes there. And I know what she means by it. Yeah. You know, she's trying to just do this number and go right and not hurt my feelings. I'm just like, well, are these out of style? I don't have any idea. Which is, for those that know me and know my family, the exact opposite of my brother. Yeah, I'm just being honest. He's a clothes horse. I don't know how that came up, but anyways, Chad is in with us here on his 14th birthday, a budding radio guy. And I wouldn't even have cared if you were a liberal, really. I wouldn't have, because we welcome liberals on here, don't we?
We do. Yeah,
we've had a bunch of them on here.
Yeah.
Honest ones, which are hard to find, but ones that want to honestly debate you. We welcome that at all times. At 1-800-551-1057 or by going to drewskeggs.com. That's with a K. So anyways, Chad's in. We talked about bullying because I said, listen, you got to get three topics together. One of them involved President Obama, and I'm just nauseated speaking of him.
He's a jackass.
Yeah. That was in his own words, though.
Exactly.
Right? So, and the first one was bullying. The second one you've come up with is, here's the deal. Young Hollywood, I've got to establish my props here, don't I? I've got to seem like I'm actually even a little bit hip.
Yeah.
Right?
Just a little.
So if I say, like, Blake Lively, does that establish anything?
She's clean, you know.
Is that?
Does she
even know what I'm driving at here?
My
props. What?
Well, at least you know who she is.
Randomly named celebrities that you may have heard of.
No, she's from Gossip Girls. I've never seen Gossip Girls, but I know she's from
Gossip Girl.
Is it the Gossip Girls or is it Gossip Girl?
Gossip Girl.
Oh, it's not plural?
It's not plural. No.
Is there more than one woman on or a girl on there?
Yeah.
Well, why isn't it Gossip Girls?
He's about Toss to see,
he's about
the
to,
writer.
He's about to see the ADD come in.
That's not
he's
my
about
decision.
To see the ADD. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Gossip Girl. So Gossip Girls was trademarked. Is only a thing I can come up with.
I don't know.
All right, so you want to, this is your topic. You talk about it, Young Hollywood. Fire away. What's your thoughts?
That I think
not that easy anymore, is it?
Well, it is.
Just fired at.
All these celebrities like Miley Cyrus and Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan, list goes on and on.
Now, wait a minute. Britney and Lindsay, those are classified as Young Hollywood?
Well, they're under 30.
Brittany's a little young, long in the tooth these days.
Well, yeah, but...
Yeah. I get your general gist.
Some girls, I don't know why, still look up to her.
Which one? And not Lindsay Lohan, surely.
Well, some used to, and then she went down.
Well, she went a variety of ways, really.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. But, you know, with Miley Cyrus, she started off this super clean.
We have talked about this girl. Very thing, haven't we?
Exactly, yeah.
And now there was the
poll.
The
poll at the was it the Nickelodeon Awards?
No, it was the Teen Choice Awards. Don't even get me started
Teen
on that.
Teen Choice
it's
Awards.
The whole Disney
and
curse though, isn't it?
I like to be cursed with $18 million a year or whatever.
yeah. But I was
more than that.
When I was working on my show, I did a story on that, and Fox said that during rehearsals, they had decided that this would probably cause controversy, so they would only shoot her from
the waist up.
From the waist
sounds
up.
Like Elvis.
Elvis. Yeah,
you don't even know what we're talking about, do we?
Who's Elvis? No, I know who he is. And I was like,
so that really they're going to shoot her from the waist up?
They're going to. She's holding on to the pole.
Yeah, was she?
And she's.
Be careful here. This is a family show.
She's dancing.
All right, we get the gist. We get the gist. So you think that's bad? That it sends the wrong message to kids.
Well, her outfit, her pants, they looked like they were shorter than the 70s shorts for the basketball teams.
That's pretty short.
That's short.
Yeah.
And she's...
All right, let's drive this a different way.
Okay.
We're getting a little area that I don't really want to get into.
Yeah.
Young Hollywood as a whole, are they seen as role models still?
Yeah, definitely. Especially Miley and Hannah Montana.
They're one and the same, though.
No, they're not. They're two different people.
Miley Cyrus is Hannah Montana, is she not?
No, Hannah Montana's Hannah Montana. No one knows that. Only her family knows that she's Hannah Montana. When you have a 7-year-old sister, you know all this stuff.
No, I'm not talking about the show. Whatever it is you're babbling about, that I have no idea.
No, I get lectured that she's not. Miley Cyrus isn't Hannah Montana. Hannah Montana's Hannah Montana.
Oh, so you were. Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
He was messing with me, wasn't he?
Ask any 7-year-old girl, and they will tell you that Miley Cyrus is not Hannah Montana.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. We got it. We've got that. So you've got Miley. Young Hollywood. You've mentioned Brittany. You've mentioned Lindsay.
Yeah.
What about this vampire guy?
Rob Pattinson?
Pattinson.
Yeah.
Props. Being established right here. What is he like?
He's right now the male Miley. He's everyone. He's
so is he Hannah Montana?
No, he's a vampire.
Well, you just said he's the male Miley. Said Miley.
Miley isn't Hannah Montana, though. Hannah Montana's Hannah Montana. Drew, come on. Get with the program here.
Shouldn't have gone with this subject, should I? All right.
Should have gone with the longer
school
days.
How about we do this? Okay. How about we do this? The Miley thing that I discuss, you tell me how far off base I am.
Okay.
Or maybe not at all.
Okay.
It revolved around her shoot for Vanity Fair.
Yes.
When it went down, I had a show on where I talked about, listen, she's built her image, and we mentioned Lohan because she's from Disney. We mentioned Spears because she's Disney. And I said, you know, all these people have made their bones with Disney, with the wholesome, clean-cut image that Miley Cyrus up to that point had projected.
Mm-hmm.
And my question was, why do they want to, for lack of a better word, sex her up at that age? Because, you know, she seems to be doing a pretty fair job making a lot of money with the image that she has now. And why can't that image translate into adulthood? That was my question. Do you have any answers for that as a young crumb cruncher?
No, not really.
Fair enough. It's a difficult question.
Hopefully, as she gets older, she'll mature.
I don't think it's maturing because you got your handlers. You know, she
This does not happen in a bubble. What she does is scripted. Everything is scripted. She's got handlers advising her. She's got attorneys. She's got image people.
Yeah.
You know, all of that. So it is not her. To a certain degree, I'm sure it is. But she's got handlers that do that. But my question was, listen, I'm not a prude. You know, listen, Brittany, when she did the boa constrictor thing, rock on. In the yeah. VMAs, you don't even remember that because you were too young.
I
can appreciate that. But you know, when I was growing up, you had what's the Osmond girl,
Marie
Osmond. Yeah. You had like Ronstadt and all these wholesome figures. And I don't want to sound like a prude, but what I'm saying is you don't see them out there anymore. She could take that image that she has, and grab a hold of that because there's nobody out there like that anymore. Everything else is, they're all the same. Whether it's Lowen, whether it's they all get in trouble, they all and my whole part with that was I hope Cyrus doesn't do that. I hope she doesn't go down the train wreck that Spears and that Lowen went down.
But I think once Hannah Montana the series is over, because she said that she's doing one more year of it, and then she's done. And
now, is she saying this or is Hannah Montana saying this?
Miley Cyrus is saying this. See, there's Miley Cyrus, the actress.
Yes.
There's Miley Stewart, who is
who's
Hannah
Miley
Montana.
Stewart?
That's her character on Hannah Montana.
Is Miley Stewart?
Yeah,
have you ever heard of Miley Stewart?
That's from the show. That's her character's name.
This is the first time I've ever heard the name. I thought it was Hannah Montana.
She's only Hannah Montana when she has the blonde wig on. She plays two different people.
But it's the same person.
This is giving me a bigger headache. So this is like the Twilight Zone. How do you keep up with this stuff?
Well, you got to have a 7-year-old little sister keeping you up to date on it.
Yeah, I'm sure Holly does a good job of that. Okay. So, it's age old, though, really, because when I was growing up, we had young Hollywood kids that did this and did that. I don't even want to name them. I don't even want to put Leif Garrett's name out there because he has no idea who Leif Garrett is, and it just ages me. That just says, oh, my God, Leif Garrett, are you kidding me, Skaggs? Is he still living? So that just ages. So the question is just age old. We deal with a lot of Hollywood issues out here on the show, and you know, the stuff that comes out of there is just there's just no common sense that comes out of Hollywood.
No,
ever.
And when they're dressing like this, they got to stay with my friend Chad. We were talking about this. They got to have the status quo. They've got, in order to make it big, you've got to kind of fit in, and I guess that's the way they think of fitting in, you know, pulling a Britney Spears or a Lindsay
reverse
Lohan.
Peer pressure.
Yeah.
All right, give me one name. I'm my head's already swimming with Miley Stewart. Cyrus Hannah Montana. Give me one name of an up and coming young Hollywood type that I probably have no idea who he or she is. Give me a heads up. I want to see who we should be keeping the show young and vibrant.
Yeah.
We need to know some of these names.
I'm trying to think of new ones. Selena Gomez.
Jenna.
That would be a good one.
Selena Gomez?
Yeah.
What is she? Who is she?
She is on a show on Disney. Wizards of Waverly Place.
Wizards of Waverly Place?
Of Waverly Place. They are teens who are being trained by their dad, who is a former wizard, to become wizards. Only one of the three kids will become a wizard. They all have to compete against each
other. So the
other
two get booted out of the house and they don't become
wizards?
Well,
they don't get booted out of the house. They just don't become wizards.
So then they're second-class citizens, really, then.
Yeah, they're just like us.
Huh. But how do you know I'm not a wizard? You have no idea. I very well could be a wizard.
You're not a
wizard of what? Waverly Hills?
Waverly Place. Yeah.
You know what?
Now we're going into the hills. Don't get me started on that
you
one.
Know what show, you know what show that I watched was that I watch with my kids is iCarly.
Yeah.
Who's the black hair? What's the black hair girl's name on there?
Miranda Cosgrove.
Yeah.
Miranda Cosgrove.
Mm-hmm.
Cosgrove. See? See? I just got to roll and keep with it, man. You know, Miranda Cosgrove, Leif Garrett, they're all the
That's
same.
Not even right.
I know. Listen, Chad, I hope you've had fun because we have.
Oh, I did. I loved it.
You had a good time?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. I'm glad you had a good time. I hope, you know, some of this intrigued you.
Yeah. I'll have a whole segment on this on my show.
As to what? Oh, really?
Yeah.
We'll have to blast here. Maybe,
you know,
steal a little bit of his show. And
well, see, the deal is he doesn't understand that, you know, you don't come on and pump your show on somebody else's. He doesn't understand that yet, does he?
That's what's known as a
broadcasting faux pas.
Yeah, kind
of. We'll let
Even
him off the hook.
You kind of did that on some other local show.
Well, listen. That should have been done.
That's true.
And I'm a walking faux pas.
Giving the show that you were on, yeah, that
yeah,
probably should have been
yeah.
done.
Well, I'm a walking faux pas, so that people understand that about me. But anyways, happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'm glad you had fun. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the conversation. I really did with the
did
bullying
too.
And all that. Young Hollywood, not so much. Not so much.
At least you're up
just
today.
Not intrigued.
At least you're up to the speed.
Well, not really.
I'll have to come back in about a month.
I'm gonna have to Google.
Yeah, we could have like a Young Hollywood segment or something.
E online.
You know what?
E-online.
No, I'm not gonna do that.
Watch me.
I'm gonna have to Google this whole triumvirate of evil known as Molly Stewart Cyrus.
Molly.
Hannah Montana. I had no idea it was so whatever you want to call that intricate. You know, I had no idea. So I guess you learn.
Yeah,
that's why we have guests, and we had Chad Hedrick on. Thanks again. Happy birthday!
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the day.
I will feel better, Chad.
That
one of my friends is sick with bronchitis. So.
Oh, all right. Shout out to a friend. You know, any other one you want to shout out to? That would be
Coach
fine.
Dowdy is the best.
Now he's
and
sucking up for
Coach
grades.
Walters. Now I like all A's.
Now he's sucking up
Hi,
for grades.
Hi, teachers.
That was the aforementioned Mr. Chad Hedrick, our guest here. It's kind of a downer without Chad.
It is a little bit,
isn't it? He brought a certain bon vivant to the show, the young enthusiasm that comes, not a jaded cynic like I sometimes become. But I guess that just comes with age.
Yeah.
And experience, although, you know, listen, not a lot of age. And I got to tell you, Leif Garrett was older than me. So, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do know.
I'm not old enough to remember Leif Garrett, but I did see one of his albums one time.
I remember all the girls used to, and this is, golly, I swear, I think once I turned 40, it was just over with. They always used to read Tiger Beat. Do you even remember that? Do you ever hearing Tiger Beat?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen
it.
Yeah,
I know. Well, it's out of circulation now for years. That's what they used to. They used to have all the, you know, all their boys like Leif Garrett on there or whatever. I feel so old. And that hurts, to be quite honest with you. Time for the world famous stupid stuff.
Oh, how come things that happen to stupid people keep happening to me?
Put the glasses away too early. Speaking of old, Akron Robber focuses on crispy chicken skin.
Chicken.
Some capers should be easier to crack than others, and this robbing spree in Akron falls distinctly under that category. A 300-pound man wanted for a string of armed robberies has hit a few more joints this week, logging three heists in a mere 12 hours. Now, narrow down the search by the fact that you're looking for a 300-pound man and further whittle the focus down after realizing that of his targets, three have been a Kentucky Fried Chicken and two Church's Chicken. If it wasn't apparent from his girth, now you know that the man not only digs money, but digs his fried poultry. This is a smart guy. This is a smart guy. He's not been caught. 300 pounds. Not been caught. Hit Kentucky Fried Chicken and hit Church's. Are you familiar with Church's?
I am.
You know what I would do if I was the Akron PD?
What's that?
I would be posting undercover officers at Popeyes.
Yeah.
That's the next logical place.
Right.
Don't you think?
I think so.
Popeyes. Raising Cane's is the one I was talking about in Lexington. The chicken place.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Mwah. It is awesome. I would love to have one around here. Remember, I couldn't think of that.
Right.
And it just hit me now, 2 weeks later. Dateline Sandusky, Ohio, unfaithful woman seeks second chance by wearing sign.
This is stupid as a stupid does.
This is an interesting story. An Ohio woman who said she was unfaithful has chosen a very public way of asking her boyfriend not to break up their engagement. Jess Dutry, 19, stood outside a supermarket parking lot in northern Ohio this week with a handwritten sign that said, "I cheated, and honk if I deserve a second chance." On the back, she had scrawled, "I honestly love him." The Sandusky High School graduate... Sandusky must not be too tough to get through. Said Wednesday... Wednesday was her one-year anniversary with her fiancé. He took back the ring that same day after she confessed to having cheated earlier this summer. She said she got the idea for her act of repentance online. Quote, "I just want a chance to redeem myself. I honestly feel bad. If I have to stand out here in the rain for him to take me back, I will." Unquote. Anyone who says honestly to preface a sentence isn't.
Right.
Just... See, I wish Chad was in here. So this would be a life lesson for Chad.
Yeah.
If somebody says, "Listen, honestly, I didn't do it." Or, "Listen, honestly, listen, I'm serious, honestly." Don't believe a word they said after that. Because they're lying to you.
Right.
All right? That's a life lesson. I've personally seen enough bailout of frauds and cheaters from our federal government. Move ahead, honey. And might I suggest government as a career? I think you have a good chance. And you know, what did she say? I deserve, honk if I deserve a second chance. No one, quote unquote, deserves a second chance. No one does. I hate to be tough about it, but no one does. If it is given, it's because the offended party has offered forgiveness. It's not a matter of being deserving of anything. I happen to think that she's deserved of something else, not forgiveness, but that's just me. Another life lesson for Chad. No okay. one deserves a second chance. No one. It is only the contrite party that is given forgiveness, not deserved. Let's see. How about this Dateline, Wisconsin? We got five. We got five, don't we? We've always got five ready to queued up. WTF, or another way to put it, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Yeah.
Wisconsin Tourism Federation changes name after internet jokes. The WTF, which that has really entered the lexicon, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
It has changed its name after being made aware that its acronym WTF had become crude internet slang.
Right.
That's why you say Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. The body charged with attracting more visitors to the Midwestern state will now be known as the Tourism Federation of Wisconsin, TFW, in an attempt to put a stop to the jokes. Got to come up with something for TFW. Can we put something in the lexicon?
I'm sure we could work on it.
We could. Tango Fox Whiskey, but that doesn't work.
No.
I don't know. We have to work on it.
Yes.
Let's see here. This is fun. I think this is funny. This is from The Sun, of course, over in England. It's number 12. Vegetarian teenager told she is being kept alive by a pig's heart.
Beef. It's what's for dinner.
A delicious irony, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
A beef. It's what's for dinner. Chicken. We had a chicken story.
Right.
I don't know which one. What do you think? I mean, I've still got to have dinner tonight. Baby, are you going to... I'm not going to count on having dinner.
Bacon.
Yeah, bacon. Bacon's a good thing, too. Animal lover Robin Kearney, 18, was struck down with a rare cardiac condition that could have killed her at any moment, but she is now enjoying a new lease on life after being fitted with a swine heart valve during complex surgery. Last night, she said, "The doctors told me I would need to have a valve taken out and replaced by one from a pig. It was a bit of a shock being a vegetarian, but I realized it was a life or death sentence. Obviously, everyone is going to pick life, so now I'm a vegetarian being kept alive by a pig."
Wow.
week. You know, I had a buddy of mine had that same deal with the pig valve.
Wow.
Yeah. And yeah, I offered him. I said, you know, I can find one at the landfill. But he didn't take me up on that. They found some other pig that kept him alive. But I think that's great. But how can you reconcile your beliefs? If you're a vegetarian, I will never put anything inside my mouth, inside my stomach, that comes from a beef, you know, it's pig or a beef source. But you got something that's keeping you alive. Don't you just say, screw it, give me a T-bone?
Yeah.
Don't you?
I would think so.
Yeah. I mean, because it defeats the whole purpose. Because anybody that knows you, when you say, listen, I want the tofu burger with a side of sprout salad, they're going to look at you and go, you've got a pig heart. You've got a pig valve in your heart. Come on. Who are you fooling here with the vegetarianism stuff? You've got a pig valve in your heart. Right? I mean, exactly. You can't win.
Yeah.
Especially with your lunatic vegetarian friends. You can't win. Because they'll probably shun her, truth be known.
Yeah.
Now that she has chosen life over death in the form of a pig valve. Don't you find, I find this on so many different levels hilarious.
It is funny, yeah.
Yeah. Ben, and it says she's going to continue. How do you continue? I mean, I just don't see how you do it. I don't see how you continue to be a vegetarian when you get a pig valve in your heart. You know, I found out something the other day. I was sent this. Do you know, we got a buddy of ours that drinks soy drinks a lot. Starbucks and all these places, well, Starbucks specifically. You know, you've got you get three different sizes. You got the tall, grande, and something else,
venti
whatever,
yeah.
Which is just utterly ridiculous. Just say, you can actually get a small. You can smaller than the littlest one.
Wow.
They don't publicize that.
Wow.
So you know, listen, if you're down on your luck, you don't have a buck. Ask for the smallest one. And they're going to say venti or whatever. No, I want the one smaller than that.
Wow.
They have it there.
Wow.
They just don't advertise it.
Okay.
A little FYI for you. It's really because my mind's on food and drinks and stuff like that since we started. And I haven't had dinner. That could be the headache reason, you think?
That could be part of it.
Yeah, I think so. I want to thank everybody for calling this evening. We appreciate each and every one of you. I want to thank our guest, Chad Hedrick. He did a marvelous job. He really did. We appreciated and enjoyed him having him in studio to give a younger impression on things. And we're always looking for opinions. We hope, Chad, that you enjoyed your birthday. Happy birthday to you. Enjoy the rest of your day. As for airing it out, the next edition will be this Sunday. That'll be a live edition at 5 p.m. We hope that you'll tune in then. As for this evening, thanks so much for listening.
You've been listening to Airing It Out with Drew Skaggs, a presentation of the best country, 105.7 WLGC.